Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
So this diary is 1937. It's May 4th. It's continuation of last week. I read some passage of last week first. May 4th. Today I went to see Mother General is Michael. For a moment, and asked her, "Dear Mother, have you had any inspiration regarding my leaving the convent?" Mother General answered, "Until the present, sister, I have always restrained you, but now I leave you complete freedom to choose to do as you wish. You can leave the congregation or you can stay." So I answered, "Very well." I thought of writing immediately to the Holy Father to ask him to release me from my vows. When I had left Mother General, darkness once again descended upon my soul, as it had in the past. It is strange that each time I ask permission to leave the congregation, this darkness invades my soul, and I feel as though I have been left completely on my own. While experiencing this torment of the spirit, I decided to go immediately to Mother and tell her about my strange torment and struggle. Mother answered, "That living of yours is a temptation." After talking to her for a while, I felt some relief, but the darkness persisted. This divine mercy is a beautiful thing, and it must be a great work of the Lord, since Satan opposes it so much and wants to destroy it. Such were the words of our beloved Mother General. So when we have to do something great for the Lord, there's always something against it. No one can understand or comprehend, nor can I myself describe my torments, but there can be no sufferings greater than this. The suffering of the martyrs are not greater because at such times death would be a relief for me. There is nothing to which I can compare these sufferings, this endless agony of the soul. So she must suffering very much. She preferred to die at once and stop the agony, but she still continued. May 4th, 1937. Today I opened up my soul somewhat in confession, because it occurred to me that perhaps this is the real temptation, that at the time I asked to be allowed to leave the congregation, I experienced such great suffering and darkness. To this, the confessor replied that perhaps it was not the time appointed by God. You must pray and wait patiently, but it is true that great sufferings are in store for you. You will have to bear many sufferings and overcome many difficulties. That much is certain. It would be better to wait and to pray much for deeper knowledge and for divine light. These are grave matters, so you don't have to say yes or no the will of God. Perhaps yes, but still you have to persist with suffering. My God, in these difficult moments, my spiritual director, Father Andres, is away, for he has gone to Rome. Jesus, since you have taken him away from me, guide me yourself, because you alone know how much I can bear. I believe firmly that God cannot give me more than I can bear. I trust in his mercy. So she's the companion who can understand her spiritual director, confessor, at least to give her some consolation, is still away to Rome. So she's alone. In the moments when I'm between heaven and earth, I keep silence. Keep silent. Because even if I did speak, who would understand what I say? Eternity will reveal many things about which I am now silent. so near in eternity in the heaven, they can understand her. So when I went out into the garden, I saw how everything was breathing the joy of spring. The trees adorned with flowers gave off an intoxicating odor. Everything was toppling with joy, and the birds were singing and tripping the adoration of God, and said to me, "Rejoice and be happy, Sister Faustina." But my soul remained in torment and darkness. My soul is so sensitive to the rustle of grace that it knows how to talk with all created things and with everything that surrounds me. And I know why God has adorned the earth in this way. But my heart cannot be joyful because my beloved has hidden himself from me. So at times we experience if the Lord is disappeared, he's nowhere, as if he's not nearby, so if you're alone. And I will not resist until I find him. I do not know how to live without God, but I also feel that God, absolutely self-sufficient though he is, cannot be happy without me. She finds that Jesus needs her also. Give him consolation. May 6, 1937, the Ascension of our Lord. Since early this morning, my soul has been touched by God. After Holy Communion, I communed for a while with the Heavenly Father. My soul was drawn into the growing center of love. I understood that no exterior works could stand comparison with pure love of God. I saw the joy of the incarnate Word, and I was immersed in the divine Trinity. When I came to myself, longing filled my soul, and I yearned to be united with God. Such tremendous love for the Heavenly Father enveloped me that I call this day an uninterrupted ecstasy of love. The whole universe seemed to me like a tiny drop in comparison with God. When you once experience the presence of God, you find everything useless. Your heart is there. The universe, just one drop. Do you ever yearn to have this experience of seeing God the Father? Do you? Huh? Do you yearn like this person to have this experience? To experience the presence of God in your heart and seeing Him spiritually? Do you? Do you ask this blessed grace? A very strong voice. Perhaps you are telling me, "I dare a lot," right? Ask. Why not? Jesus loves you too. So Sina thought that she is the one who give only herself give consolation to Jesus, right? She is not proud, but her love is so great. You too, increase this love for Jesus. There's no greater happiness than when God gives me to know in theory that everything, every beat of my heart is pleasing to Him. And when He shows me that He loves me in a special way. Of course, she is very special. But you too. Do you think you're special? Do you think you're special? Special in a good sense, eh? Not in a bad sense. This strong inner conviction to which God assures me of His love for me and of how much my soul pleases Him brings deep peace to my soul. Throughout this day, I was unable to take any food. I felt gravitated to the full with love. She didn't take much food. I think she is still weak. Strong. God of great mercy, who died to send us your only begotten Son as the greatest proof of your faithless love and mercy. You do not reject sinners, but in your boundless mercy you have opened for them also your treasures, treasures from which they can draw abundantly, not only justification, but also all the sanctifying, all the sanctity that a soul can attain. Father of great mercy, I desire that all hearts turn with confidence to your infinite mercy. Turn your heart with confidence. Stop sinners praying for this for us already. Take this grace. No one will be justified before you if he is not accompanied by unfathomable mercy. When you reveal yourself of your mercy to us, there will not be enough of eternity to properly thank you for it. Oh, how sweet it is to have in the death of one's soul that which the Church tells us we must believe. When my soul is immersed in love, I solve the most intricate questions clearly and quickly. Only love is able to cross over precipices and mountain peaks. Love, once again, love. May 12, 37. A strange darkness sometimes pervades my intellect. I am submerged in nothingness against my will. May 20th. When a whole month I had been enjoying good health, it occurred to me that I did not know which was more pleasing to the Lord, by serving him in illness or in the robust health for which I had asked him. So she is doubt whether in weak and darkness is might be so pleasing God more than she is strong, healthy. And I said to the Lord, Jesus, do with me as you please. And Jesus returned me to my previous condition. So she speak again. In darkness again. She asks, but she depends on the will of the Father, of God, no, of Jesus. She also is open. I think we need to do the same. I'm just suggesting we ask, also we open. No, not just we not unhappy because Jesus didn't answer or didn't listen to us. Oh, how sweet it is to live in a convent among sisters, but I must not forget that these angels are in human bodies. You understand what she means? You understand? What does that mean? Oh, how sweet it is to live in a convent among sisters, but I must not forget that these angels are in human bodies. You understand? In the convent? Yes, pure of heart. Anywhere, if you're pure of heart, even in convent, not in convent, you're blessed. You consider all the other sisters, angels. Wait a moment. Is it like that, sister?
But with human body.
We too. At times we are devils. We are devils for other people. We consider ourselves angel, but we for other people could be devil. Okay. Now this the last phrase. On one occasion, I saw Satan peering about and looking for someone among the sisters. Listen, huh? But he could find no one. Thank the Lord. I felt an interior inspiration to command him in the name of God to confess to me what he was looking for among the sisters. There must be some temptation, great temptation. Huh? And he confessed, though unwillingly, I am looking for idle souls.
Idle.
Idle souls. Idle.
I-D-L-E.
Idle.
Yeah.
Hang around.
Yeah.
Doing nothing.
Yeah.
Don't know what to do. In the chapel, daydreaming, studying, not listening to the class. His soul is wandering. When I command him again in the name of God to tell me to which souls in religious life he has the easiest access. He said, again unwillingly, to lazy and idle souls. You many times you're, oh, how nice, and sit before the television, be careful. Temptation will come through the television. When you want to do some gossiping and get a telephone, be careful. This is idling. And the devil will go. The action is not devil, but he's squeezing all the evil thinking. When gossiping, always something evil, because it's not love, and it's not pure love. Gossiping something you think bad of other person, and you are better, no? This power already. Pride. I took note of the fact that at present there were no such souls in this house. Let the toiling and tired souls rejoice. Okay, the very time, huh? You want one more sentence? One more phrase, paragraph? Okay. May 22nd, 1937. The heat is so intense today that it is difficult to bear. We were all thirsting for rain, and still it does not come. For several days, the sky has been overcast, but there is no rain. When I looked at the plants, thirsting for the rain, I was moved with pity, and I decided to say the chaplet until the Lord would send us rain. Before supper, the sky covered over with clouds, and a heavy rain fell on the earth. Yeah. I had been saying this prayer without interruption for 3 hours. Divine mercy. Not only for the souls, but also for the sky, for the rain. And the Lord let me know that everything can be obtained by means of this prayer. Huh? So important. Continue next week with this very interesting sharing of our sister. Okay, we continue.